Lovely to see you. I'm going to be carrying on our series on the parables. We're going through some parables while Joel's away, and we're not going through King of Hearts. We're looking at parables. Last time we looked at the parable of the unforgiving servant. This time we're going through the parable of the friend at midnight. You might have heard of it, you might not have done. We're going to just learn this morning about what Jesus is teaching through here. We've got a great study ahead of us. We're going to have a lot of fun. Let me pray, is that all right? I'd love to pray, just commit the time we've got to God and ask him to speak to us. Jesus, thank you for the way that you taught so amazingly in the Bible. And you meet people where they're at. You use language that people get. And we thank you that the words that you spoke hundreds and hundreds of years ago still have life for us today in Brighton. And we're asking you, God, please would you let your words of life and power, come and speak into our hearts, come and change lives, come and make us more like you, come and have a great impact in our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the parable's going to come up on the screen. I'll read it out. Follow along if you want to. This parable is in Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. Let me read it. So this is the parable. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. And you say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit. I have nothing for him to eat. Suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night. My family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if you or your children ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This parable, Luke 11, 5 to 13, are taken from the New Living Translation. We usually preach from the ESV, English Standard Version, but there's some phrases in here that the New Living just sort of says that I'd like to pick up on. That's why I've used this translation today. 5 points that I'd like to draw out from this parable. It's a parable, it's a story about a guy who comes in the middle of night, midnight, asks his friend, say, this is like me going to Phil's house at midnight, saying, Phil, mate, someone's come to my house. I have nothing to eat. Please, will you give me some bread? And Phil's like, me and Mel and my 50 million kids have gone to sleep. I'm sorry, I can't come and help you. I'm like, Phil, you don't understand. I need you. And the point Jesus is saying is, he ultimately, in the end, will give me some bread. Not just because he's my mate, but actually because of my shameless persistence in asking at midnight. Jesus is making the point that I want you to persist in prayer. I want you to be like that with me. Now, for some of you, you're like, what? We can ask God for things? We can have that kind of relationship with God? We can ask him for things at midnight? That's like, even the word shameless, tenacity, audacity in prayer. Some very good questions. So what we're going to do with this parable, we're going to paint a bit of a backdrop just around the theme of prayer and asking God for things. And then we're going to look into some of the details of what this parable says. So I've got 5 points around prayer. Number one, this talks about a person. Jesus talks about asking the Father. There's a person that we ask and he's our Father. He's a Father, the one we come to, not just a living deity or an idea. No, he's a Father. Here's some characteristics about the Father. One, he's all powerful. It says in Matthew 19:26, says this, Jesus, in response to some questions the disciples had about salvation, how does that work? God can't save people. Jesus looked to them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. What I'd like you to do is look at that last sentence and just meditate on it for just a few seconds in your heart, in your mind. With God, everything is possible. just let your imagination go wild a little bit. I don't know what you know of God, when you read God, what you think of him. Jesus saying, hey, some things in life, you're right, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. When you read through the Bible, you see story after story, true stories of God doing impossible things. You read all through the Old Testament, amazing miracles. Armies coming up to a sea, to an ocean, and there's an army closing up behind them. What are we going to do? We're going to fall into the ocean. In a moment, God splits the Red Sea, holds up gallons and gallons of water up to the left and to the right for the army to walk through. And you think, oh, it'll be squelchy. They'll just sink in the mud. No, even that, he's able to make it dry ground. Just a minute ago, there's water on there. You know what? That's impossible. With God, all things are possible. He's powerful. He can do that. Jesus walked on earth. Not just on earth, he walked on water. Have you thought through that for a moment? You can't walk on water. Yeah, that's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God can do that. He can cause water molecules to hold his weight up. What? How does that work? He can do that. There's wind and waves and there's a storm going around and the boat is being tossed to and fro. What's going to happen? Jesus stands up and speaks to the storm, be muzzled. And the storm just goes, shoom. You can't do that. No, they obey him. God can do the impossible. When it comes to matters of impossible and possible, you throw God into the mix and it's a totally different deal. Why? It's because all things are subject to God. He's in control of everything. Every atom in the universe is at the command of Jesus. What he says, things happen. All things happen because he lets them. There's nothing that he cannot do. God can do anything. He's in charge of all creation. So in terms of God, he's all-powerful. He can restore blind people. He can heal people. Yeah, no probs. Your bodies, he's got control over that. He could do that if he wanted to. But not only is he all-powerful, secondly, actually, this Father, he's all good. He's all good. You see, if he was just full of power, that's good, but almost kind of scary. You know, you meet really powerful people. They can almost just be like dictators, just like all this power. But he's not just powerful, he's good. He's good. And we read in this story, if you remember, it said in the parable, what father among you, if your son asks for a fish, well, instead of a fish, give him a serpent. Or if you ask for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. My daughter, Ruby, she's got some brown boots. We noticed about 3-4 weeks ago a little slit in the front of them. I was like, oh, that's a bit of a hole developing there. A week or two later, that's actually developed into quite a big sort of gash. She needs some new shoes. There's a big hole in the front of her boots. And she's like, Dad, I need new boots. I'm not going to be like, yeah, here you go, and give her like a rat. No, like, as her dad, it bothers me that she's got shoes that have got holes in. I want to get her some new shoes. Jesus saying, hey, if Simon, you can do that, but actually, you know in your heart, you left yourself, you're a sinner, and there's badness and darkness in you. If you, even you, want good things for your kids, how much more does your Father, who's perfect, want good for you? So he's not just all powerful, he's all good. And this combination of the power of God, who can do anything, plus the goodness of God, when those two things join together, you come to the Father in heaven. This is what he's like. But it gets better. Thirdly, he's all generous. It says in Romans 8, 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? What does that mean? If God's all powerful, he could give to Matt here, if he was, you know, needed some money, God could click his fingers and make a suitcase full of 100 grand appear on his doorstep. God could do that. He can control anything. That's like, amen. He could do that. If I don't know, we needed a new car, he could just be like, boom, make a car happen. He could just call somebody to give him a car. Easy. He can do that. But think about it. That doesn't cost God anything. If he's able just to speak and make the whole world come into being, he can easily just do that. But it doesn't cost him anything. God's given us that which cost him. God's given us his son. The only thing that would actually cost God is himself. And the thing that actually cost him his life, he's given us. He's given us Christ. He's laid down his life for us. He's paid a great cost. If he's prepared to go that far for you, then the needs in our lives that he can do like that, of course he's going to do. He's generous. He's given you his life. So we're talking about this friend at midnight, this parable about prayer, asking God. The person that we come to is a father who's powerful, he's good, but also he's generous. His nature is generous. He's shown you that at the cross, and he wants to provide for all of your needs. This is a bit of a snapshot of the who we come to. We come to the person who's the Father, the Father. When I say Father, when you give your life to Jesus, part of the deal of salvation is not just, great, you're forgiven, but actually you're adopted. It's not just Jesus' Father, he's now your Father. The way you relate to God now is you call him Father. These things are not just for Jesus, they're for you. So that was number one, the person, ask the Father. Number two, let's look at the promise. Ask and it will be given. I'll read out again. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. The promise here is to ask. Ask, and it'll be given. Ask me. We're often not very good at asking. We get a bit funny about it. Maybe it's an English thing. Sometimes we just prefer not to ask. There's a few reasons behind that, I'm sure. But there's a promise here, but it comes down to ask. Ask, and it'll be given. It's an active word. It's not passive. It's not just sit and wait. And it'll be given to you. No, the qualifier there is ask. It's do. It's an active word. It requires action. It's not passive. Asking means ask. Don't dilly around. Ask him. A few weeks ago, I was having breakfast. Anybody with kids, you'll know this. When you walk into a room with food and your kid doesn't have some, they automatically like look up and sort of like want to come over to you. And Ruby was sitting on the sofa just watching whatever, something on iPlayer. I came with my bowl of Shreddies, and I knew what I was doing. I sat down right next to her, and I just began to eat. And she was like, I could just see immediately, she was like... And she does this sort of thing, of a bit like... And started to sort of say half sentences of... And she's sort of saying something... And you can see she's like eyeballing these Shreddies. And I knew she was, so I was just like... And she's sort of like eyeballing what's going on. So I was like, Ruby, would you like some of my Shreddies? She's like, yes, please, Dad. I was like, okay, well, I love you, and I'd love to give you some. Why don't you just ask Daddy if you can have some Shreddies? I love you, just say it confidently, say, Daddy, please can I have a Shreddy? And she was like... Daddy, please can I have a Shreddy? I was like, yes, of course. I put a Shreddy on a spoon and put it in her mouth. And she's like, content, like, oh, got a Shreddy. I want her to ask me confidently, not just sort of being, no, ask confidently, Dad, please can I have a Shreddy? Yeah, sure. 15 seconds. Dad, please can I have another Shreddy? Yes, of course you can. I want to teach her that she can ask me. Another 15 seconds. Dad, yeah? Can I have lots of Shreddies? In that moment, I just thought, yes, you can. I want to teach her that she can ask. And I gave her two or three. And then I finished the bowl quickly so she had no more. At this stage in her life, I want her to know that she can ask me and ask confidently. Some of you have older kids be like, you wait, Simon. They'll be asking every day for everything, which is fine, and we'll get that. But right now, I want her to know that she can ask me confidently for things. Ask. God says ask. Just to help us get inside this theme a little bit, we're going to just dip out of this parable and jump into John. Jesus talks a little bit in a few chapters of John just about this theme of asking. So we're just going to go there quickly. Let's look at John 14, verse 13. Jesus says this, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I read it again. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, surely you can't mean whatever you ask, because that could be anything. No, Jesus actually says it there. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Let's just take this verse apart a little bit. What does it mean by whatever? Whatever. Oh no, I can't pray for that. Well, I think whatever probably covers that. Whatever you ask in my name. Jesus uses this phrase quite a lot in terms of in my name. There's a few ways that you can look at this theme, in my name. Asking in the name of Christ, in his authority, you're asking it. But also it means this. The end result of this request is that the name of Jesus gets glory. I'm asking in Jesus' name for him. Not just asking for myself. I'm not asking in Simon's name. Ask whatever. Yes, I'm going to ask for Ferrari. God, I ask for Ferrari. I'm not sure I can ask for a Ferrari right now in Jesus' name. That's probably more in Simon's name. But there might be situations where actually it could be in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, we'll pray it then. But whatever you're asking, if the end result of this request is that Jesus gets glory, he's like, yes, that I will do. Of course I will. I love to glorify myself. See, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The product of your asking, the fruit of your asking in Jesus' name is that God gets glory. Well, of course he wants to do that. Why? Because God wants to glorify his Son. So this seems a too good to be true verse. No ways. I can't believe that. Where's the hook? Where's the catch? No. If something's going to glorify God, of course he wants to do it. What are we asking then? Let's just keep going. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Ask, there is again that word, whatever. Whatever. Ask whatever you wish. That's like genie in the bottle language, isn't it? You've got three wishes. No, this is Jesus in John 15. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish. It will be done for you. What? That seems way too good to be true. What does it mean by if you abide in me, my words abide in you? Abide. If you remain with Jesus, if you're connecting with him, if you're spending time with him, if you're being with him, if you're communing with him, if you're getting to know him as a person, and his words, the word of God, the Bible, if they're remaining in you, if they're living in your heart, if you're spending time in the word of God, what you begin to find is that your desires, your heart, the things that you want in life are more mapped and shaped to his. And actually the things that you come out of you that you want to ask are actually the things that he wants you to ask. And he's like, hey, ask me, ask me. Some of you are looking a bit confused. Is this just like pie in the sky? Is this just like, I don't believe that. I just quite frankly don't believe it. This is what Jesus says, and I would say to you, try it. Try it. In my life and in our lives, Anna and I, we have taken God at his word many times on this. God, you said, ask whatever you wish. We're asking for God to move in someone's life. We're asking for money. We're asking for a house move. We're asking for provision. It's like, God, you said it. Please, would you give this to us? And it isn't like something you think would be really spiritual. It's maybe something just really simple, a simple basic need, whatever you wish. Time and time again, he's provided. It's a wide, wide verse. This is like the jackpot part of the deal in Christianity. It's like the golden credit card that you don't have to pay back. Here you go, take it, ask me, I want to give you, I want to glorify my Son. Last one, John 15, 16. I chose you and appointed you, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. So it's not just like, hey, ask. It's actually, there's an appointedness to it. Part of your calling, part of the reason God saved you, he's appointed you, what? To be an asker. I've appointed you to ask for things. One of the primary ways that the kingdom of God is going to come in your life and in this city is through the people of God asking. And God's appointed you to ask. You think, oh, I don't like asking. Tough, not tough. Like, he's appointed you. It doesn't matter. You didn't choose it. He chose it for you. Oh, I feel a bit cheeky. Don't worry about it. God said, I'm appointing you to ask. This is part of our calling. God responds to those who ask. God gives to those who ask. Instead of ask, it will be given to you. Everyone who asks receives. God gives to those who ask. Some of you don't have in your life right now because you haven't asked. Some of you are not receiving. Some of you have having doors that aren't being opened. Some of you are not finding things because you haven't asked, knocked, or sought. And you're like, oh, no, I'm just waiting. I'm trusting the sovereignty of God. God's like, yeah, that's great. Thank you for trusting me, but you are allowed to ask me. ask me, I want to. Three verses in John, there's another in John. It's like Jesus is making this point. He's poised, he's ready. There's a blank checkbook here. What do you want? What do you want in your life? What do you want me to do? What do you want in terms of the kingdom in your life? I'm ready. Are you asking? Whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. The primary way we see the kingdom of heaven coming to earth is through asking. You trace back many of the revivals in history to a figure on their knees, praying, asking. We have prayer meetings here every Saturday morning. We have weeks of prayer. We always kick off the year with 2 weeks of prayer. Why? Because it's just good to hide away and pray. No, because God answers prayer. When you pray, when you ask, it changes things. 2 years ago, we got together for 2 weeks of prayer and fasting to pray and seek God and ask. Within a week, we got a phone call from the BBC saying we'd love to do a live show from this church. Not happened for like 10 years. It's like, wow, is that a coincidence? No, he's answering prayer. He's giving us favor. Many, many people around this room would have stories of like, I've asked God for something and he's answered it. Hey, Jesus wants us to be those who ask. So number one, the person is the Father. He's good, he's generous, he's powerful. Two, the Bible is full of promises of a God who loves to answer those who ask. Number three, the process is by faith. We ask by faith. What's faith? Word that we read lots in Bible. It can mean lots of things. Saving faith, faith for situations, gifts of faith. When it comes to asking and prayer, asking by faith looks like this. It's asking with a certainty and assurance and confidence, not in yourself, but in God and his promises. Let me explain. Faith is different to passion. You might have been in prayer meetings or seen people pray with great passion and great fervor and great zeal, or pray for healing and pray with all the energy and all the volume and like beads of sweat dripping down their face, praying and praying with lots of passion, but that doesn't necessarily mean it was a prayer of faith. It could have been actually lots of prayer of anxiety or prayer of like worry. That's different to faith. What's faith? Terry Virgo says this. Terry Virgo is an elder who started this church and planted it, a great man, an apostle, and a father figure. He said, in the Lord's Prayer, starting with our Father in heaven, starting with our Father in heaven stops prayer from becoming worrying out loud. You start there. The person, where he is, means prayer begins not to be about worry, it's about faith. What's faith? It's faith in a person. Say I ask Matt here, Matt Carve, I give him £10. I say, Matt, here's £10. Please, will you go to Sainsbury's and buy me a really nice bottle of red wine? And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll go and do that. Because I know Matt and because he has a good character, he's an elder in the church, I have faith in him that he will go and buy me a nice bottle of red wine and not just go and spend the money on himself, or not just buy a £5 bottle and keep it for himself and not tell me. I have faith in him. He's an honest man. If I give that £10 to somebody who's a convicted criminal with a history of theft, say, here's £10. Please will you go and just get me a bottle of wine. I don't have faith that actually they're going to come back. If I don't have a relationship with them, if I know their history is actually, you know, very checkered around this area, I don't have faith in that. I have faith in Matt because of his character, because I know him. He's a man of his words. This is Matt who is evil. He's not evil. How much more faith do we have in the person, the Father, and the promises of God? Let's look at that. The person who we're coming to, it's a person who's powerful and is good. Matt's good. He's not good like God. God promises goodness 24/7 in my life. Matt doesn't. God is powerful and able to do anything. He's mega generous. Matt's generous, but not generous like God. And so when we get our eyes off of ourselves onto the person who we're asking, we're suddenly finding a faith and a confidence in him, not just in ourselves. Not just in the person, but in the promise. We're not just like, and it's not just a vain hope of God, maybe I'm good enough that you might bless me. Maybe I've done enough things that you might like answer this prayer. No, 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 that's no faith in that. That's really shaky ground. You come to the promises of God, come to the things that he said he will do. You can find a confidence and a faith. You're standing on solid ground. Why? Because he's never been unfaithful. Because all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. When you're coming to the promises of God, you can be certain that God wants to fulfill them. So when it comes to asking and praying, just for me personally, there are often times when I just want to take some time to ask God for some things, to be persistent in prayer. And to be honest, there's not much faith here. I don't know. I've lost sight, lost my way a little bit, not really thinking about things. What do I do? Hype myself up in some sort of frenzy of just ask anyway. No, I want to ask with faith. I want to ask with certainty. I want to touch the heart of God. Get acquainted with the promises of God. I regularly come to those promises in John 15. Almost every time I take time to pray, I'd start in those. God, you said, ask whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. You said, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. You said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, ask whatever you wish. You said, up to now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and it will be given so that your joy may be full. You said, I've appointed you to ask. God, I'm coming to you in obedience to you right now to ask you for things. You said this. And in the process of going through these promises of what God's done, you find faith begin to rise in your heart. You're not resting on just some idea. You're resting on his promises. And you can ask with a certainty. You might think, oh, but my faith is tiny. Hey, it's not the amount of faith you have, it's who your faith is in. Jesus says this in Matthew 17, 20. If you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, tiny, 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 you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Tiny, tiny faith, like a mustard seed, can move a mountain. It's not passion, it's faith. And it's not the amount of faith, it's who it's in. My faith is in him and his promises. Hey, you stand on one of those babies, you can move mountains. When you're taking time to ask God for things, get acquainted with the promises of God. Let faith rise in your heart. You might say, here's the thing, I don't like asking. I talked about this earlier. Like we're just not very good at asking. We don't like doing it sometimes. Here's a couple of reasons why I think, you know, like in my life, I've sometimes not liked asking for something, and I think probably maybe some of us could connect with this. We don't like putting somebody out. We don't like the idea of asking somebody to do something because it's going to cost them something and you'd rather not give them that hassle. This is going to cost you maybe time, and I don't want to put that on you, or it's going to cost you some money, I don't really want to put that in you. Or maybe you're just sort of coming across a bit cheeky and I don't want to come across cheeky. I'd rather just sort of protect that impression of myself. Let's just think about that quickly in the context of God. I don't want to ask because it's going to cost you time. Well, do you know what? God's got all the time in the world. It doesn't cost God anything. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day to God. Answering your prayer doesn't cost him time. Oh, I don't want to pray, it's going to cost you money. Hey, you know what? He owns everything. Every pound in every bank account really is his. He's in total control of everything. He's able to make money appear like that if he wanted to. It doesn't cost him. He made the world. You think, oh, I don't want to come across a bit cheeky. You know, he's actually said, I want you to ask. More than that, he's like commanding it. I've appointed you to ask. You're not being cheeky. You should be obedient to me. So the reasons that we don't want to ask, actually when they come to God, he's different. He's not like one of us. He actually wants us to ask him. Or maybe actually out of pride, I'd rather do it on my own. I don't want to ask for help. Don't know how good you are at asking for directions when you're in a car. Yeah, that was it really. That one sentence on that. Some people are brilliant, some people just aren't. No, I'd rather do it on my own, thank you. Sometimes we get like that with God. I don't need your help. I can do it on my own. You can do it on your own. I don't need your help. Who gets the glory in that scenario? I can do it on my own. You get the glory. That's pride. That's putting you at the center. That's worshiping you. That's an act of just humbling yourself. Learn to ask God for his help. learn to ask him for bread at midnight. That's an act of worship to him. Asking is worship. So faith, the process, asking by faith, faith in God's character, faith in the promises means that you can ask and ask with confidence. Faith in God and faith in his promises. Number four, the practice of prayer. That's practice with a C. Not practice as in I'm practicing to get better. The practice of prayer. Ask audaciously. Just some points on here real quick. Number one, ask what you need. In this parable, Jesus says, a friend of mine has just arrived from a visit and I have nothing to him to eat. A real need. It's midnight. A friend has arrived. I've got no food. Help me. Phil, it's midnight. Help me. It's a need. Ask God for the needs in your lives, for him to meet them. What are the current needs in your life, like right now? Or we're struggling with money. I don't know if I'm going to get to the end of the month. Ask him. I'm struggling with this person. This relationship is difficult at the moment and I'm trying not to avoid them. I know that I should forgive because some preacher said a couple of weeks ago I should forgive people, but I'm finding that hard. That's a need. Ask him. We're trying to sleep train our child to sleep through the night, but it's not going too well. We're finding it really hard. I'm full of lack of sleep. I need your help. Ask him for it then. God, help us be better parents. I can't ask for that. That's not spiritual. All of life is spiritual. Jesus cares about the details of your life. He cares about the needs. Bring your needs to him. Jesus said this in the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, he says, give us our daily bread. There's an expectation there that we should come to God daily with our needs, that he wants to provide. Some of us are missing out on his provision because we're not coming to him to ask. Bring your needs to him. Number two, ask specifically. Sometimes we can ask really generally, God, provide my needs today, amen. What ones? And sometimes we can be afraid to ask specific prayers because actually if I ask specifically, then it's really obvious if he hasn't answered. So we kind of protect ourselves from like the unanswered prayer thing, which I'm going to get to in a minute. So we'd rather pray generally because then he kind of like answers it. And yes, he's answered that prayer. You know what? You just prayed, bless my day, and the sun came out. Oh, he does answer my prayers. You know what? That might have happened anyway. You don't actually know he answered that prayer. Get specific in your prayers and you know you can prove him and test him as a God who cares about the individual needs in your life. When Anna and I were engaged, we were looking at houses to get married, to live in. And we made a little list of things that we wanted in a house. I think one of them was that we'd have an open plan vibe, you know, in the kitchen lounge area. And one of them was we wanted a table that you could fit eight people around in terms of that sort of size. We love having people over, love hosting, small group, all that kind of thing. We want to have space that you could fit that size table. I wanted an open fire because the people I'd live with have one and they were awesome. I was just like, this is the best thing ever. I want an open fire. I think there's some other things. Distance from Anna's work, that could be walking distance. We didn't even know what her job would be yet. She still lived in Oxford. We were like, we just want it to be easy walking distance to her work. And we just wrote down these things and we just asked God one by one for these things. God, please will you give these to us? You said, ask, it will be given. We just ask you in Jesus' name. This isn't just us wanting a cushy life. No, we want a table because we want to host people. We want the kingdom of God in our lounge. We want to sit and teach the Bible to people. We want an open plan space so we can host people and have people over. So it wasn't just like a selfish thing. It was very much of a kingdom of God thing in Jesus' name, not just in Simon and Anna's name. God, we want this for you. Please will you give it to us? We had a day where I booked seven different houses across the city just to look at. And just to see what we could get for our money. And one by one, they were terrible. It was just before the recession hit. We were looking to maybe buy somewhere. And it was just like terrible. It's like, God, this is not what we've asked for. Ugh. And we've begun to think, oh, should we just settle and just choose the best of the lot? Out of the blue, somebody came here who's got a house, had the house on Queen's Gardens in the North Lane. They're looking for a young couple to come and move in from the church, and somebody told us about it, so we thought we'd go and have a look. We opened the door, and it was like, we were mind blown. One by one, massive lounge, room for a table, open plan, open fire, oh my word. And then it turns out Anna's job was in London for the first few months, and it's just like 5 minutes walking to the station. It was just like perfect. And it was just like, oh, gosh, you've answered our prayers. And the lady who rented us, very godly woman, and she said, now I'd like you to go away, think about it, pray about it, see if this is the house for you. And we were like, yeah, it's right. He wants to answer. He's a good father. He's a good father. We could have been stuck in something that wasn't right for us, small and didn't fit our needs, but we brought a specific list to God and we asked, and he gave to us. Recently, Anna and I just moved house into a flat just over here. We've been renting for the last 6 years. Anybody tried to buy a house in the middle of Brighton recently knows that you need more than £10. It's megabucks. And we're just like, we've been knowing for years, there's no way we can ever buy a house in central Brighton. It's just crazy money. Like, who do you think I am? This is ridiculous. We're like, you got angry. Like, I can't do it. Maybe we're just going to rent for the rest of our lives. And we had a little bit of money saved and whatnot. But we're just like, no, God, we feel like you've called us to Central Brighton. We feel like you've called us to serve New England Quarter, to build your kingdom here. We want to put our roots here. We want to invest into this part of the city. Literally, since we got married, we've been praying prayers about, God, give us a house. And you know that Jesus said, ask whatever you wish. Here's a little secret. One of those whatever you wishes for us was one day God would just give us a house. Somebody would just come along and just like, this is for you, have it for free. And we just pray, God, give us a house, give us a house. We need thousands more than we've got right now. This is never going to work. And we prayed regularly amongst our kind of just weekly prayer as a couple, God, give us a house. This is a long story. I'm not going to go into much of it. But just to say, in the last 3 months, God has answered that prayer. We came across some new build flats there. Amazing thing of shared ownership, which I didn't even know about. The government's on your side, which is great. Helped first-time buyers. So we're able to buy a house way above our league, way bigger than we should have, way more than we should afford. In the last 3 months, God has just given like five miracles in a row and just got us in there. What happened before that? We saw this flat. We're like, God, that's the one we want. It's literally like 60 grand above our budget in terms of what we need, even as a deposit. It's mega bucks. We can't afford this, but we want that one. We want the three beds. We want it at this price per month. This is way out of our league. Back in September, our week of prayer and fasting, we're all praying for the Hove site. I was on my knees praying for this house. Lord bless Hope. No, Lord, give us this house. We need another 60 grand. God, we pray, give us the fourth floor. We pray, give us that third bedroom. And I prayed round and round these four things for about half an hour, just on my knees about there. God, give it to us, give it to us. In the space of like 3 months, God answered all of those prayers and got us into a house in Central Brighton. Amen. He answers prayer. God gives to those who ask him in Jesus' name. We asked, and he gave to us. He wants to give. Just super quickly, because we're going to run out of time. Ask audaciously. Jesus says, ask whatever you wish. Come on, what do you wish? Dream big. Ephesians 3:20, to him who's able to do far more than we ask or imagine. What's the biggest thing you imagine that God can do in your life? In Jesus' name, now ask for it. Think bigger. He can do bigger. There's an amazing old hymn that says this, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with us bring, for his power and grace are such that none can ever ask too much. It's impossible to ask too much of God. Bold prayers honor God, and so God honors bold prayers. It's worship to him. Remember, it's an act of humbling yourself, an act of dependency. God loves it when we ask. Ask big. It's like the blank checkbook. What do you want? When I was a teenager, I began to just get hold of this idea of asking God for big things, for big things. And praying audaciously and praying for big prayers, Jesus teaches about prayer, actually. It's something you should do. You should go away, open your door, go into your room, shut the door, and pray in private. Pray in secret. So don't be like the Pharisees who love to stand on the corners and just pray big prayers. Look at me, look how great I am. No, your Father in heaven knows your heart and that will be your reward. You don't want your reward to be in front of men. There's something about praying in secret. And so I didn't stand up that night and just pray for our big house. no, you know, that's crazy. I want to do it in secret, and I'm telling you this now in terms of teaching on prayer. But there's something about the secret place, and I learned how to pray in secret, even as a teenager. Somebody challenged me when I was 17 and said, you English people, as an Indian guy, says you're not very good at praying big prayers, straight up. It wasn't Johan. He just said, you can be too shy. You think praying big prayers is pride. It's not. Read the Bible. He wants you to pray big prayers. So I learned in my life to sort of pray, like, what do I want with my life? And so I was thinking, God, I want, you know, in terms of Elijah and Elisha, he prayed for a double portion. Not just like, oh, I just want 2%, Lord. No, I want a double portion. Audacious. I was like, God, you've put an anointing on Matt Redman that when he stands up, he can lead thousands of people deep into the presence of God. I don't want that. I want double that. Charles Wesley could sit in a sermon while his brother John Wesley was preaching, and he could write a hymn while he's preaching. And afterwards, Charles would get up and lead that. God, I don't want that. I want double that. I want to be able to sit in Joel Virgo's sermons, write songs, stand up and do them. And praying that as a teenager, God has begun to answer some of those things. I've written a couple of songs, a song we sing, Let the Rain Come, that was written in a sermon. A song we sing called By Faith, that was written in a sermon. I'm not saying this because look at me, I'm saying look at what God has answered. And so now I'm standing here thinking, my gosh, you've answered these prayers, what am I praying for the next 10 years of my life? And there's a book called The Circle Maker that goes even further that says this, the transcript of your prayers will ultimately become the script of your life. Someone wrote down what Simon Brading prayed back in those days, the transcript of them. Actually, you read that, that's kind of become the script of the way I've lived the last 10 years. Huh, what am I praying now for the next 10 years of my life? What am I praying for Anna? What am I praying for Ruby? What am I praying for Zoe? I'm wanting to pray big prayers for us, and God wants it for you. Pray big prayers. Get audacious. Get crazy. Get before God in private and ask big things. I'm just going to zoom through these last ones. Ask intentionally, just to say having a prayer life doesn't happen by accident. It takes time. You have to make decisions to take time to pray. Sometimes there's seasons of prayer, like 2 weeks of prayer and fasting. It's a concentrated time to really get before God for a couple of weeks. But actually, there's a lifestyle of prayer. Some people, you know, take time in the mornings. Some people like take time once a week. Whatever works for you, but I'll tell you this, it won't happen on its own. To say yes to prayer, you have to say no to something else. And for me, I like to get up early and pray before the family gets up. That means I have to say no to getting to bed too late sometimes, or no to an extra glass of wine, because I know in the morning my prayers will be like, blah, 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 blah. What's going on here? Oh, I just drank too much last night. I didn't get drunk, but that's come in front of praying. Don't be legalistic about it. That's just what I wanted to do. You find a way that works for you. And lastly, ask hungry. Just to say, the Bible talks a little bit about fasting. What's that? You deny food for a little bit to heighten your awareness of God, but to show that, God, I'm hungry for this. There's no rules on fasting. You don't have to fast. You don't have to do it at all. But it's a way of showing God, God, I'm hungering for your kingdom. When I was at university, I just thought, I'm going to give this a go. Why not? So I fasted a Friday lunchtime to pray for that Sunday. I was leading worship that Sunday. I just thought, I'm not going to eat lunch today. I'm going to go hungry. I'm going to take the hour that I would be eating and come and ask God to just to be with me this Sunday and his kingdom to come while I lead worship this Sunday. Come, Lord God. And I spent a long time just in faith, bringing promises to God about worship, about his presence. That Sunday, no jokes, was probably the best Sunday I'd ever led worship in my life. It was back in like 2006, I think, in this room. It was just epic. And I knew in my heart it wasn't me. This was God answering a prayer in the heavenly realms. I was like, oh, I think this works. So I started from then on to regularly, once a week, just skip lunch and pray and seek God, and still do that now. Do that for our kids, praying now for Ruby and Zoe as a teenager, praying for things in our lives, to fast. So there's no rules around that, but just do whatever you feel comfortable with. But it works. God honors fasting. That's all I'd say. Then finally, just in this last minute, persist. We've gone through this little journey of five different things. The first one is to persist. Ask again and again and again. Just to go back to this parable, it says, I tell you this, though he won't do it for his friendship's sake. So I'm coming here to Phil at midnight. I'm like, Phil, give me some bread. This is what the parable says. I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Sometimes people ask you for things and ask you and ask you and ask you, and it comes a point where you give them what they want, not because they're your mate, but because you want to get rid of them. It's not because you're my friend, I'm just fed up of you asking. Like, fine, have it. If you've seen the movie Shawshank Redemption, old movie, I only just thought about this recently. In that movie, he's in prison and he writes to some authorities, "Would love to have a library in this prison." Signed, da 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 da, and then sends it. Doesn't hear back. Next week, writes exactly the same letter again from his prison cell. "Would really like to have a library and some books in this prison." Sends it. This goes on for like a year. Every week, it might even be every day, I can't remember. Just wrote letter, 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 letter. Like, after ages, they finally just turn up with like crates full of books. He didn't hear anything from them. He just wrote and wrote and wrote. I'm sure they weren't like, "Oh, let's have compassion." It's just like, "Let's just deal with it. Fine." He obviously really wants it. There's something ironic here. Jesus is saying, "I want you to be like that with me. I want you to get shameless before me and ask and ask and ask. I want you to be like that with me. I want you to persist and persist." Does that mean we're really annoying God? Does that mean he's really annoyed of us? No, he's a perfect father. He's inviting you into it. He doesn't get frustrated. He's slow to anger. He wants you to do that. Why is it that you ask and ask and ask? Maybe you've been the other side of things. You've been the asker. There's something that you've wanted and you need, and actually you can't take no for an answer. Maybe it's something that you just believe in, something for your family, something money-wise, just like, no, I'm not taking a no for an answer. I need this. I want this. Why is it that you persist so much? It's because that thing matters to you. Because it's something that's in your heart, something that's important. I tell you what, friends, the kingdom of God is important. And God likes it when it gets deep into your heart and it starts to take hold of you and builds in you a confidence and a tenacity in prayer. He wants you to keep asking. Now, by definition, from this parable, we can say that there will be times when you get a no. I prayed in faith. I came to the person, I bought the promises, and I prayed in faith audaciously, and he didn't answer. "Oh, well, I'll stop then. That was that." Well, actually, from what we learn in here, it might not be a no. It might be like a, "How much do you want it?" Don't be those that give up so quickly. We prayed for a house. We prayed for a house 6 years ago. We prayed for years that God would give us a house. I'll let you into a secret. I gave up 2 years ago. I just gave up. We prayed and prayed. Nothing's happened. I gave up. I lost faith and I couldn't do it. And for about a year, we couldn't even talk about it really. I would avoid the conversation. It was too painful for me. I just gave up. I've prayed and prayed. It hasn't happened. And I felt God speak to me one day, like, "Simon, you do know I can do anything. You do know that I'm the God of the impossible. You know, nothing's too difficult for me. You do know, I promise you, you know that I want to give you something." And I just found faith rising in me again. And that's where the song Breakthrough came from. "Let unanswered prayer rise again to you. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing that's impossible for him." It's like, come on, Simon, get back on your feet. Ask me, seek me. Maybe today you're carrying the pain of unanswered prayer, and dang, is it painful. The pain of disappointment, disappointment sucks. Disappointment is like shooting two holes in your feet and all of your energy draining out. Disappointment is depressing. Let me tell you, God knows that. And he has an answer for you. It's come to him. Bring your disappointment. Bring the emotion of it to him. He's the author of faith. I've run out of faith. He's the author of faith. He writes, not just of a scratchy biro, he writes with a nice thick fountain pen, faith in your life. His faith he can give to you to rise up again and to ask him and to seek him for big things. So I want us as a site, and for me, to be those that ask God and persist in prayer. Not just on ourselves, but we have great promises. We have a great God who's got unlimited faith in our lives, and together we can see great things come to him. So the band are going to come up. And do you know what some of the greatest news in all this is? Jesus is praying for us. What's Jesus doing? Sitting with his feet up? No, he's interceding for us. He's praying for you. He hasn't given up. He's praying for you. He's praying for your house. He's praying for your situation. Where you've given up on prayer, he hasn't. Amen. He says to Peter, Satan has tried to sift you, but Peter, I've been praying for you. Put your name in that sentence. Anna, I've been praying for you. Matt, I've been praying for you. We have a Savior and a God who's laid down his life, given us that which cost him everything so that he could give us everything. So let's stand together, shall we? Let's stand together. We're going to take communion. We're going to remember this Savior, and we're going to learn to be a people of faith and ask him for things.